resurrection of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews is telling us that the Old Testament sacrificial system is a pale shadow of the once for all, all-encompassing efficacy of the sacrifice of Christ. In the passage today, the writer further celebrates the unique sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His blood, his death on the cross, has taken away our sins. Sin's power is annulled for us, verse 26. Consciences are cleansed. Peace is ours. Sin's penalty is removed from us, verse 28. Death is no more. We have salvation. Christ appeared on earth, the writer says, to put away sin. He appears in the presence of God on our behalf. He will appear in triumph for those who are eagerly waiting for him. All of that in verses 24 to 28. And all of this is immense, immense good news. So as last week, we could do some with some alleluias at this point if we were a different congregation. But you did last week, well, we'll move on, you know. But we could do. These are things to praise God about and sing alleluia, all of this great, great good news, and that we can live by day. Last weekend, a Jehovah's Witness called at the vicarage door. I don't think he realised he called on a vicarage. I wasn't going to try to engage, and I'm surprised he only came as one. They usually come in pairs, but he was on his own. I wasn't going to try to engage, because I know you just get no, you don't go to anywhere at all. So we simply shook hands, and I wished him well. But later, I realised if I'd had sharper wits, I could have just said to him, God loves you. God loves you. And there is nothing you can do to make him love you more. There is nothing you can do to make him love you more. Because Christ has done it for us. In Christ alone, our salvation, God loves us. We are received and accepted by him. And it is this good news that the world needs to hear, that Jesus comes proclaiming as he starts his ministry in Galilee, as we heard in the reading from Mark. The time has come, he says. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Come, follow me. And as Jesus calls Simon and Andrew and James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John and the other disciples, so he calls you and me to follow him, to be a disciple. I cannot overstress how important this word disciple is. It appears over 250 times in the New Testament, over 250 times. The word we know literally means learner, student, apprentice. A disciple follows to learn to become like the master. So a Christian disciple follows Jesus and lives and takes the good news of Christ as he brought the good news, and we make a difference. The Christian disciple brings the kingdom of God. It is what you and I are called to do, and as we do so, become like Christ himself. The need is surely vital and urgent. The great saint Dallas Willard said this: the greatest issue facing the world today, with all its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who by profession or culture are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence. To be a disciple, absolutely vital. And in the new year, we'll be working through more generally and in more detail what this means to be a disciple of Christ. January the 13th, put it in your diary now, Matt Pryor has a full-time job in Guildford Diocese to help churches with discipleship. He will be here at 8:30 and 10:15, and then after 10:15, he'll be leading a workshop on discipleship. So it'll be part then of working through generally our vision on discipleship. But look again at the specific priorities that this church has set. We can just see those on the screen. And these will be in that leaflet that you've got there. And you can see where we're focusing in on our discipleship. It is about, we know, relationship building, encouraging and helping Christians to build listening and caring relationships with people outside the church. And for some people, that will mean membership of village groups. Your relationships are there, all sorts of ways that you're involved in the village groups. Other people, it will be the workplace. But for all of us, friends, relatives, neighbours, all of us can have those relationships and be building those relationships. There's something about there about sharing life, about hospitality, and about just being with people and growing those friendships. And then we know that life groups are vital to this, about people, groups of us meeting together, encouraging one another, and having an outward-looking focus and relationship building as well. The emphasis, of course, in all of this is that you have something to share. You have got something to share, and the assumption is you want to do so. Because all of that doesn't work if you don't accept you've got something to share and you want to do so. You want to share your life, your faith with others, and you are actively seeking to so do. How do you go about this? How do you share your life, your faith? And as I say, I know that this is, you know, you can talk about this year on year, and I would know probably in your situation, I would struggle to do it. What does it actually mean in practice? And so I will be giving you a leaflet in the next, hopefully before Christmas, that sums up what I'm going to say now. And that leaflet will just be about sharing your life and your faith and about what needs to happen to get yourself into a place where that is happening naturally into your life. So what I'm saying now, it'll be on the screen in a moment, but bear in mind, it will be part of the DNA. It will be a leaflet that I hope and pray we all take and work through daily in our lives. So first of all, this is about, if we see the next slide, being fully you. Being fully you, wanting to share your life, your faith with others. As I've just said, that's the assumption. You've got something to share and you want to do so. But it's obvious that you are a person with all sorts of interests. You talk to friends and neighbours, I presume, about the weather, about Brexit, for goodness sake. Perhaps you don't talk about those things. Perhaps you talk about your health, your families. You talk about another glorious win for Tottenham yesterday. I'm sure you're all doing that this morning. You talk about all these things quite naturally. And then there could be a big part of you that just never gets mentioned. And that is, you came to church, you have a faith, and that faith is important to you. It's important enough to put you in church here today. And so you have something to share, but you're hidden away, and therefore you cannot be fully you. You cannot be a full human being if you're not sharing a part of you that is most vital to you. So it's simply that, wanting to share your life with others, and then naturally leading into conversations about faith. But I know it's daunting. I know that. I know when I was a teacher in a comprehensive school, for me to go in on a Monday morning and say, oh, I was in church yesterday, and I'd get blank stares from everybody, and you know, or maybe worse. I know it's very, very hard. So this is the bit where we have to go on praying and working it through to go on to see how it works in practice. Next point, though, is to be bold in the person you are in Christ. And see the next slide. This you saw 2 years ago in Michael Harvey's book. We went through that, Unlocking the Growth. And I've added one or two to it, because I think he missed three or four of them actually there. But all those areas, that is you in your Christian faith. You are God's ambassador. God has trusted you to go and represent him to other people. You will bear much fruit, and the fruit will remain. That is Jesus' promise to you. You are God's friend. You are appointed and chosen by God. And so it goes on. You are God's adopted child, his heir. You are a priest bringing God to people and people to God. In Christ, God is with me at all times, and all the other ones in between. God has his hand on you. He is with you. He equips you and empowers you. He will not let you down. You will see good things happen as you act as his ambassador. Those are the promises in Christian faith. So one or two people may be looking a bit blank at the moment, and just go back a moment. You have something to share. You want to share it. That's the starting assumption. If that's not for you, then go back and work out where you are with it, because that is obviously essential. Once you know that, be bold, because God is with you. And then the next slide, please. We need to be generous. We need, clearly, in our relationships, this is not just going and knocking on people's doors and that's the only relationship you'll ever have with them. It is about forming those relationships in kindness, in generosity, doing things that just come out of acts of love. Has to be there. Hospitable, helpful, kindness, be outward looking. And there the little diagram there. This is from Mission Shaped Grace, the John McGinley book that I recommend to you as well, about just mapping your relational world. There's you there. But you've got all sorts of relationships there, of colleagues, neighbours, friends. Just know who they are. Be praying for them. It's a very simple thing to do, isn't it? Just pray. Well, I say it's simple, but it needs a discipline to do it. So be aware of them and pray for them. And be wanting to share what you have about faith with them. And then... So be generous. And then the next slide. to be receive and release God's blessing, to know this is about God's love flowing through you out to other people. And as you pray and receive God's love in you, then naturally take that out to others. Pray for them in the quiet. And if they give you a chance, pray for them in the open. But you're passing on God's blessing to them. And then be a good conversationist. A good conversationist asks questions and listens, don't they? So you don't just go in and bounce people with, this is what I believe, and you've got to hear this. You just ask, you talk naturally. You talk about the weekend. You talk about just that relationship and listen to people's, what they're saying. So it could be simple questions that just arise. Do you have any faith in God? Did you ever go to church? Were you brought up to go to church as a child? Those are kind of questions I use on a funeral visit or something like that, just to try and form some sort of connection with people about where they might be with faith. And then you listen. And when if it's appropriate, you can tell your own story. You can just, if it's appropriate, you can say, well, I go to church. And that's a simple thing. It's not indisputable. You go to church, you're here, and nobody can argue with that. Or you could say, I believe in God because... And just simple replies you can give to people. Or, I've got doubts. I doubt it, but I'm here, and I go with it, and I want to find out more. You can just talk naturally and honestly about who you are. And then, I'd say this is not to all be taken on board now. The leaflet will be here, but somehow all of this, I'm sure, needs to get into our DNA. We do need, next slide, to be ready to explain the need for Christ. Why is Christ essential to the Christian? We need to be able to do that. And you might want to practice that in your own words. Why do you think Christ is essential? Why is he unique? Why does he say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? Nobody comes to the Father except through me. But there may be tools that help. And if we see the next slide, there is that one's from Mission Shake Grace, John McGinley, the three circles. You can start with that. You can just show their various parts of it, and you could just sketch them out maybe. That there is God's design for a wonderful universe, a wonderful world of perfection, but there is the sin of brokenness and all sorts of ways that manifests itself in all the horrible things going on in the world, but also in my own heart, my own life, the selfishness I have, the grumpiness, and so on. It can all be there as part of the brokenness. And so we're called to repent and come back to pursuing God's design through Jesus. It can be a very simple way of just saying why Jesus is vital. Another one could be, and I'll make these available to you on a card, as I say. You might like to pick them up and use them. But the next one is called the bridge. You've probably done this one before and heard it. But how do you get to the other side? How do you get over to God, into heaven? And this is an old, old one. And from what I read at the moment, it's not very in, but I think it's still very good. It's one of the illustrations that helped me as a teenager come to Christian faith. So how do you get to the other side? How do you get to God? Well, if we just trace through on the next couple of slides. So there's us, and there is God. And I need to find my sheet. You all know what that verse says, don't you? So you know what it says. You've got it. Who's a Bible scholar amongst us? Let me just find it then. Okay, here it is. Romans 3:23. Thank you, David. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so there is a separation. Romans 6:23. And that one then that leads to death. Romans 6:23. David, you know what that says? The wages of sin is death, the scripture tells us. The wages of sin is death. But then it goes on, and I've made a mistake on the verse on here. But the next bit, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, is the last part of that verse. And then look at the next bit then, the next one here. This is the one where I've made a mistake. I think it's supposed to be Romans 5:21. Eternal life, there is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through the cross, the bridge is made between man and God, and man, woman and God. It is there. And then in the next slide, then that's people walking across. You can now go. Okay, is that all right? All happy? And so just simple, isn't it? Of course it's not going to, when you go into a theological college, you'll find hundreds upon hundreds of books written about those three diagrams. So it's a bit more complicated than that, or can be, but that's pretty simple, isn't it? And something just to get hold of and help people to understand. Or another one I quite like, I don't see this one around in the reading at the moment, but look at this one, the Roman Road. If you just could have that, we'll put that out on a card and you could use that one too. Romans starts with Romans 3:23, all have sinned. 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you just use that very simply, just three little verses from Romans in that very, very simple way. So we have to get ourselves in a place where we can share our faith. Be ready to explain the need for Christ Jesus when the conversations arise, when that happens, to help people into faith. Other ways to do it is to, there are booklets available that we're making available as from now. These will be available for, I'm going to plug them at the Chris Dingle service, Why Christmas? Very simple little read about why Jesus is vital. And again, if it's a can't just throw them at people, but if it feels appropriate from the conversation, try reading this and see what you think. I'll talk about it with you and so on. And that one as well, that was around in the 1970s, and that helped me to become a Christian. Journey into Life, a very little simple summary. You remember that one, yeah, it's an old classic, still going. So this is available too. You could take that for yourself or use it with somebody else. Then, we are helping people. You are being a disciple. You've got something to share. You're helping others to become disciples. You can explain the need for Christ. You've got into conversations. You need to help others to pray, don't you? So the next slide, and you know this one, the Lord's Prayer. Very simple. Anybody can pray the Lord's Prayer. And there's that sheet that's available as well, the lines of the Lord's Prayer, and what it can mean in practice if people pray through it. You could do that. You don't need to go to theological college to do these things. You can explain the Christian faith. You can help someone to pray. And then the next slide, you can help others to undertake simple Bible study, simple questions. You can do that. You don't need a theology degree to study the Bible. You can just simply look at a passage and say to somebody, what does it mean to you? Simple as that. Read a story. Read one of the stories we had today. What does that mean to you? They'll probably say the Hebrews. I've no idea. You'll probably say, no, I haven't either. I can't understand it, but we'll find something from it. But the Mark one was very easy, wasn't it? The calling of the disciples. Who was Jesus? Why was he doing that? Why did they respond to him? What did they find attractive in him? Why did they give up their whole fishing business to go and follow? Simple questions that you can just follow through and ask. And these are going to be available. They are available now. I encourage people next week to take these. Telling people to read the whole Bible can seem daunting, can't you? This great big book here. But how about that? Just taking that, Matthew's Gospel, the Christmas stories there, and it very quickly leads on to the amazing teaching of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And so you can just read it. You can read that in an evening or two. How about a book club? If you're part of a book club, how about you choose Matthew's Gospel as your book? And then everyone has to read. Isn't that how they work? Yeah? Am I right? Oh, right. Well, maybe you don't want to do that just yet. But, you know, that's another possibility, just simple ways of helping people to read. So you are getting equipped to be a disciple, are you not? Yes? And you're right, good. So there are all these ways, and I say there's going to be a summary sheet about these things that to get into place. Then the question would be, of course, how does it actually happen in practice? And I do come back to that. I know it's really, really difficult to do that, to actually get into those conversations and happen. Pray. Start with a prayer. Pray for people and then just see what happens. But the last thing I'd like to say, and this is not a cop-out, but the last thing I want to say is, oh no, sorry, go back then. It was on the previous screen. Work as a church together. It takes a church to make a discipleship and be happy to be part of the church. Because by being here, you have an influence. There'll be an influence by one another, encouraging one another, an influence that goes out into the community. People come to faith because you are here. That is the case. I'm not saying on the current Alpha course, but there probably are. But there's certainly on previous Alpha courses, people have come into the church and found faith. They weren't sure why they were coming, but then they joined the Alpha course and then they came to faith. But if you're not here, it's not going to work, is it? It's like when you go on a holiday and you go past a restaurant and there's two people in it and the next one's got 50-60. You go to the one with 50-60 in, don't you? Is that right? Yes? Because you think, what's wrong with the one with two in it? And so by being here, you make an attractive place for people to be able to come to. So be there. Be part of the church. Maybe, we have to work this through, but be a pastoral assistant. It is great, the contacts our pastoral assistants have with people, and that's mainly a pastoral follow-up, people in physical, mental need, but it can also be a spiritual follow-up. And maybe if it comes appropriate, you can use all these ways to help somebody explore faith. And maybe if we made more and more contacts with Westcott, if we really knew the need of the 2,000 people, then maybe, 200 people would like a pastoral visit. I can't do it, But pastoral assistants can maybe do that together. And then last of all, out of this, to be part of a life group, we know is going to be essential. They're not going to meet all year necessarily, but in stages of the year, come together, encourage one another, and look outwards in sharing our faith together. So this is what we need to do, I think, I'm sure, actually. And we need to somehow get from the theory about it and stop talking about it and actually do it. And I think that needs to come into our prayer. It needs to come into encounter on Wednesday night, just to be reminding each other this is what we're trying to do, and be praying for one another. Because it is vital for at least two reasons. One, in spite of the glory of the numbers of people here today and all the children, that you know that there will not be a church unless the church reaches out and brings people into faith. All the statistics are showing that the cultural shift is there, and there will not be a church unless we can get this right. But that's the kind of negative side of it, really. The very positive side is this is who you are, and you have something to share. And you have that to share with you, with others, about why you're here today, why faith is important to you. And as you do so, you'll discover more about the faith yourself. You will be enriched. You will be blessed with the good news. And next Sunday at Christingo, I just want to celebrate the good news and encourage people just to live and enter into it. But may you respond to the good news with celebration and want to be a disciple, an apprentice of Christ. Amen.